Well, there was a mountain climber out climbing a very steep mountain by himself, and he came across a 200-foot drop. He lost his footing and began to fall the 200 feet, but he reached out and he caught a branch that was protruding from the side of the cliff. And as he was hanging there between heaven and earth, he looked up to heaven and prayed, "Lord, if you're up there, save me, help me." And then he heard the voice of God from heaven say, "Yes, my son, I will save you. Have faith. Let go of the branch, and I will save you." And the man looked up again and says, "Is there anyone else up there?" So faith is the message of today's gospel. We see two great miracles today. They both had to do with faith. You have the faith of Jairus, the synagogue official, and then you had the faith of the woman who had the bleeding issue for over 12 years. So let's start first with Jairus. Well, we know that he came to the Lord, and he was a prestigious man. Jairus was very well known, well respected. He was, after all, a synagogue official. This would be a layman who ran the synagogue. He would run the worship services. He would take care of the scrolls. He would take care of giving alms to the poor. He would take care of keeping up the building. So he was a very important person in the local synagogue. But notice what he does. Because his 12-year-old daughter is so close to death, he seeks out Jesus, this traveling preacher known for miracles and healings and cures. And he falls at Jesus' feet, a great act of humility, a great act of reverence, a great act of pleading, interceding on behalf of his daughter. So we see the importance of praying for people, intercessory prayer. Yes, pray for your husband, pray for your wife, pray for your parents, pray for your children, pray for your grandchildren. Intercede for them. We're all called to be intercessors in the one mediator, Jesus Christ. So we pray for those that we love when they're sick, when they're suffering. And so he pleaded with Jesus, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come, lay your hands upon her, and she will live." So we see first the faith of this man, Jairus, the faith of this synagogue official. So the Lord goes with him, and they start heading back to Jairus' house. But now we have another miracle is about to take place, because as they're traveling on the way to Jairus' house, there's a woman in the crowd who had been suffering for 12 years of bleeding. And it says she suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors, all trying to cure her. But she lost all her money, giving all her money, spending all her money trying to get better. And she had exhausted all her money. She was still, it says in Scripture, she wasn't helped. She only got worse. Well, why was this particular illness so devastating? Well, because of the flow of blood, she was considered ritually unclean. She could not go to the temple. She could not go to the synagogue. She could not even touch another human being. If someone touched her or she touched them, according to Jewish law, because of the flow of blood, which was considered the life of the person, she would make that person unclean. And then they couldn't go to the temple or the synagogue unless they had gone through ritual purification. So it was like being a leper. It was obviously a painful illness that had exhausted all her money, her savings. Plus, she was like an outcast among her family and friends. And so that's why she has to sneak up behind Jesus and just touch the outer hem of his garment. She heard that the Lord was in town, and she said, "If I can only touch the tassel on his cloak, I will get well." But she had to do it secretly, because this would make the Lord, according to the Jewish mentality, would make him unclean if he was touched by a woman with the flow of blood. So that's why she had to do it secretly. She came up behind him, but notice she is a woman of great faith, incredible faith. She did not want to disturb him. She did not even want to ask him for a cure. She just said, I'm just going to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, the tassel of his cloak. And she did. Of course, the whole crowd was pressing around the Lord, hundreds, maybe thousands of people walking with him to Jairus' house. She reaches out and she touches his garment. And immediately, the healing power of Christ flowed through her. This warmth, this power, this strength healed her, and the flow of blood dried up. And she knew immediately that she was cured. But what's an interesting detail is Jesus knew immediately that healing power had gone out from him. As the great Bishop Sheen said, every time Jesus worked a miracle, it cost him something. The Lord was spent, because every time he healed the sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, a leper, every time he raised somebody from the dead, like Lazarus, it would say in Scripture that he groaned, that it exhausted him, because it wasn't just magic, it wasn't a magic trick, it was a healing of giving his power to heal a person. His energy was being spent in healing others. So every time the Lord healed, it was an act of love, an act of self-giving, self-donation, sacrifice. And so the Lord immediately realizes healing power has gone out from him. And so he turned around and said, who touched me? The disciples say, you got to be kidding. There's hundreds of people pressing up against you. And the Lord kept looking for the woman. He knew who it was, of course, but he wanted her to come forward. She realized what happened, and she approached him in fear and trembling. She fell down before him, just as Jairus had fell down before him, and she revealed the whole truth. And the Lord is so pleased by this woman's faith and calls her daughter. Your faith has saved you. Not only has her faith healed her, but it saved her. She was now justified in the eyes of God. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction. So the great faith of this woman. So by this time, the delay had occurred, and now the people from the synagogue official's house come and say, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter has already died. So the Lord disregarded the message and said, do not be afraid, have faith. Notice the same theme again and again. Don't be afraid, have faith. And as you remember, as I said last week at the other masses, fear stands for false expectations appearing real. Faith stands for fully abandoned into thy hands. So he says, don't have fear. Don't be afraid. Don't give in to these false expectations that appear real. Instead, have faith. Be fully abandoned into thy hands, O Lord. And so they continue going to the house. And of course, the Lord goes in. He takes this child. He speaks to her. She is dead. She comes back to life. He says, little girl, arise. And the girl immediately stood up. And the Lord said, give her something to eat to give her her strength back. So the great cure of the woman, and now the resurrection from the dead, the rising of the dead of this little girl, point out, I think, two things that we can apply to our daily life. One is the sacrament of confession. The other is the sacrament of the Eucharist. In the sacrament of confession, somebody can go into confession dead in mortal sin. Like that girl, 12 years old, she died. Some people go to confession in mortal sin, 10 years of mortal sin, 20 years of mortal sin, 40 years of mortal sin. But through the grace of God, with a good and holy confession, they can be raised from the dead. They can be given sanctifying grace again. They can come back into the state of grace. They can rise. And that's what confession is. It's raising people from the dead. Those dead in mortal sin can come back to life and be given sanctifying grace and enjoy the very life of God again by making a good confession. And lastly, the Eucharist. This woman said, I just want to touch the tassel of his cloak and I'll be cured. Well, in the Holy Eucharist, It's much more than the tassel. It's much more than Jesus' robe. It is his body, blood, soul, and divinity that we get to not only touch and receive in communion, but get to take into our very heart and soul. And so every time you receive communion, ask for healing. Ask Jesus to heal you of bad memories of the past. Ask him to heal your marriage. Ask him to heal your family. Ask him to heal any health issues that you have, to heal you in mind, body, or soul, to heal you physically, emotionally, spiritually, because Jesus is the divine physician, and he does want to give us healing. Sometimes the physical healings come, sometimes they don't. But even if the physical healings don't come, he will give you emotional and spiritual healing. He'll give you strength to go on with your life. In Lourdes, some people think that all the miracles occur in the miraculous waters, but they don't. Most of the miracles occur during the Eucharistic processions, when Jesus is carried through the streets in the Blessed Sacrament in the Eucharistic procession, because it is Jesus himself. So never underestimate the healing power of the Holy Eucharist, because it is not just touching the hem of Christ's garment, it is receiving his body, blood, soul, and divinity.